You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
And welcome back to another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be in. Thank you, Ron. Boy, talk about a man of many skills here, Ron. First of all, interviewing Mr. Robert Burnham on the Armageddon Secret. What an interesting interview that was, sir.
And an engineer.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Forensic engineer.
And the history of what happened with the rocket making and the Manhattan Project and all the rest. Just so fascinating.
I'll say one other note. His wife, Susie, was in here, and she said the Wall Street Journal had an article earlier that there's something new called atomic tourism, and people are going to these sites like Los Alamos.
Really? Yeah. Yes, Los Alamos. I read an article a week or two ago that it's one of the most popular tourist sites out there in terms of former federal testing sites, that people are just fascinated by all of that. Well, it's great to be here on the 15th of June, Thursday. And joining us today is the Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
It's great to have you back. Our own RICP, Retirement Income Certified Professional, and should be weighing in on one of our topics today, the one I'm discussing, finding the retirement strategy that works for you. She's also our managing executive, and she's going to be discussing Social Security and how little the population really does understand Social Security and why you would want to listen to us talk about that, right? Indeed. And, two, Deanne Jennings.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Deanne, our own director of operations, and she's going to be discussing the stats that accentuate what we're talking about, and boy, some interesting ones indeed. So again, if you have a question, please feel free to call and or text. Today, finding the retirement strategy that works for you. How to find the retirement strategy that works for you, from Kiplinger, whatever, written by a Mr. Charles Rull, CFP, and RICP.
Hey,
he's
hey.
Both. Both
he
of what
brilliant.
We are.
Yeah. Indeed. If he has RICP.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. He's not a CPWA, though, so all of these letters. He has all these, but except this one, right? So he says, feeling overwhelmed by the dizzying array of retirement advice that seems to be all around on the internet, in your mailbox, or in the news, or from a neighbor or relative? And I think many people would say yes. Because the baby boom generation, the biggest generation thus far, and still, even I think after the newest generation, even the millennials, maybe they're a bit more than the baby boomers, but the numbers are stunning. Mm. So why is this important? Well, because we're living so much longer, and we're trying to match our own retirement strategy to what we might try to do. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, all the responsibility has been shifted to us to try to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why, indeed, I think it's more important than ever to find a financial advisor that you can work with, and or a firm that you can work with, hopefully for your lifetime. Yep. It's not a short-term endeavor. Sometimes people feel awfully confident when they tell you exactly how you should invest, as if that strategy that worked for them or something they know or someone they know should work in exactly the same manner as you. But that's simply not the way retirement planning works, of course. Not every retiree is comfortable with the same strategy or is even in the right position to use that same strategy. A gentleman and his wife yesterday were in, and he said, you know, I'm taking plenty enough risk in my business. I really am not comfortable taking risk in my own particular investments. And I said, hear, hear. Understanding yourself and why can be key in when you're communicating with your advisor. And that makes a lot of sense. So if you're taking significant risks outside of the retirement strategy or your portfolio, you may decide that you don't want to have risk involved nearly as much within that portfolio because you have plenty of growth potential outside of it. Thank you very much.
That's such a good point, because that could be very stressful for a person if they're taking risk in their business, risk in their finances, and yes, you'd be stressed out.
Mm-hmm. Right, because then all financial assets are at risk. That's a good way to diversify.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
The differentiation, if you will. So sometimes it's the value of the assets. The assets aren't where they want to be. Sometimes you may have discounted them inappropriately. Conversation a couple of days ago. He was rather embarrassed about it, but he said, and I won't go into the details on it, he said, I really underestimated my own 401k. So having these conversations and putting the spotlight on where you are may be one of the best things you can do, because I am amazed, as I was telling Heidi and Deanne just before the show, when we do these financial plans, often the adjustments that you have to make, if it's not working, really, they're not that big. Well, I guess we overestimated how much we really do need to spend in this particular area. That may be one of the things. It may also be that you can say, well, if we make small adjustments in these 3 to 5 areas, that's going to make that much difference. How can that be? Because it's the ongoing expenses that you decide to undertake that can make all the difference in terms of your overall financial health.
Which also calls into question, you do not have to wait until you retire to do a financial plan. Actually, like Dennis is saying, doing it those years leading up to retirement, when you can make smaller adjustments that are maybe less impactful to your current budget, you have more options the longer period of time. So really, we say like 5 to 7 years before retirement is not too early to have a in-depth discussion on what your plan is.
That's right. Good I've point. Seen that happen again and again in many clients, even the ones who really are not as concerned about running out of funds. I mean, they have much larger assets over time, or overall, if you will, are surprised what the impact of compounding, the impact rather that compounding can have on their portfolios. You mean it's worth X, and in 5 to 10 years at a conservative rate, we're looking at those amounts. So, yes, just putting the spotlight on those things and the impact that's going to have, and thinking through then, okay, what could that mean for the estate? What are the bigger picture items I want to think about? Do I want the children to get it all? Johnny, you really don't want all that money now, do you?
Whatever.
Well, yes, Mother, I do. You know, that sort of thing. Getting it planned and worked through. Mommy, I love you, but, you know, whatever. Stop it. Okay, so the average person isn't as well positioned to sail through retirement without a few concerns. What are those? To the extent that you can work with your advisor to work through those things, at least you're putting it out into the ethosphere, if you will, so that your brain can work on it. Well, you wouldn't believe some of the crazy things we might say. Let's just go down that rabbit trail, right?
Yes.
And then 24 hours later, you think, I can't believe I said that. No, I guess I really wasn't thinking it quite that way. Any of us who have long-term relationships understand that, well, not everything I said did I really mean, you know. That sort of thing, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Mommy or daddy or sister or brother. Mm. whomever
Lewis,
that might be.
Lewis! Yes. Lewis! Lewis! Mom! Mom!
Mom!
Mom!
Mom.
Mommy! 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 Mama!
That's great.
What?
You didn't play the very end. That's hilarious, Ron. Thank you. Thank you. So sometimes we just need to say it. Dennis, are you a counselor? Well, in some respects, yes. I'm certainly not certified, so please, in counseling anyway. So generally people on the wealthier end are more comfortable with risk. Sometimes they are not. Okay? The average person is as well positioned as I said. As I said, you may feel constrained. Is that constrained feeling or thinking justified? Some, frankly, just are more comfortable being very tight to the vest with their expenses. We have many clients like that. That's where they are today. Why? It's why they are where they are today. Because they are focused on savings and saving funds. They want it to continue to grow. That's all right. But keep that in mind when speaking with your financial advisor. Does he or she know this? Yes, I want to continue to grow the estate just to see what it can grow to because I have some bigger picture in mind. I want it to pass on to the children. Or I want it to pass on some to charity. I want to continue to focus on that. I find that enjoyable. Some clients do.
And there's some clients who want to spend their last dollar on their last day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really hard to plan for.
It is. And some feel ill prepared to suffer big losses. They need to make the most out of every dollar to figure out a way to avoid waking up someday and discovering that their bank accounts and their savings have run dry. There's no retirement strategy that works well for everyone. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So as you go through these risk tolerance questionnaires, and I love some of these questions because they actually use real dollar amounts these days instead of percentages. If your portfolio is down by $50,000, would you be able to survive that? No. Thank you very much. So if that's the case, then you might possibly want to make those adjustments. Now, for spending, many people go by the 4% rule, which says if retirees withdraw no more than 4% from their savings each year, they could likely make it through a 30-year retirement without running out of money. So 4%. What's the value of the account? 4% is a number that continues to be debated, but it's a good percentage, generally. Diversified investments without locking yourself in. Some people want a diversified portfolio, but don't want to lock into a given strategy. For instance, using a product like an annuity. Some just don't want to use that. That's all right. So you have to make adjustments for yourself and for your portfolio if that's the case. Perhaps you don't need a guaranteed income. You have guaranteed incomes here from your pensions. In that case, you may have plenty of income right now. You just want to grow the portfolio for inflation later. That could then mean that you can survive it. Now, a great example is what happened in 2022. Both the stock and bond markets were down in the range of 10 to 15% in 2022.
It was a tough year.
It was a tough year. So dealing with that reality, it has gone steadily up, generally the stock market, since 2009. In 2020, there was a correction, but there wasn't a year in 45 years like the one last year. Given the reality of that, any diversified portfolio virtually was down last year.
Well, and I think last year also helped people determine their comfort with risk because of, I'm comfortable. Then after riding that roller coaster last year, people are reassessing. And
they
see that a lot lately, that people are like, you know, hey, maybe we want to put a little bit more in something more conservative.
Yes.
Because they didn't enjoy that roller coaster ride. So it was a test on people's ability to deal with risk.
It was. And a good test up close and personal. That's why Treasury bills, as an example, are an extremely popular instrument today. Not right for everyone, of course. Mm-hmm. But given the interest rates that you can collect on a short-term treasury bill, may make sense. Diversified investments with a safety net. Some want an optional safety net. Investments that won't go down and or can help buffer you against those losses to allow you to say, all right, I can take a portion of the portfolio, guarantee it. I want to take the other portion and I can still ride the ups and downs with that, given that we and or I may well live more than 10, 20, or 30 years out. Please don't underestimate your own longevity in all of this. Because we've said this before, but those who listen to WTCM and have a dog tend to live much longer than the average person. See? Who would have thought?
Ooh,
given the reality of it.
You're good, Tian.
What if you have like two dogs? Do you live even longer?
Even
is
better.
That twice as long?
Just trying to hang on to them both when you're walking down the sidewalk would be interesting, right? So steady income without undue risk. If all of the income's coming from the portfolio, believe me, you know, what most have Social Security, and Heidi is going to be talking about that, but if that's the sole source of additional income that you're relying on, obviously then you may want to be more conservative in that particular portfolio. So you were talking about groceries, vehicles, insurance, and funds for unexpected expenses and emergencies. All of those come into play when we're thinking about the portfolio. The last strategy is bucketing or time segmentation. Some people may prefer a time segmentation or a bucketing approach. Bucketing approach may be up to 2 years for the most conservative money, 2 to 5 or 2 to 7 for the second bucket, if you will. That tends to have some more risk, perhaps, but it's also meant to preserve or help grow the dollars as conservatively as possible and still allow you to draw for income in that 2 to 5 or 2 to 7 year period. Then 7 to 20 maybe more of a growth and income strategy, and then 20 through 40 years or whatever. So it's 3 or 4 buckets where they're separately set to handle needs that you anticipate in future, especially related to income. So those are some of the strategies that you might employ to have a happier retirement from a financial perspective. Looking at all of these can only help in terms of your overall outlook for retirement and hopefully your own success. So Heidi,
yes.
Social Security information, the stat right at the beginning of this article was really quite something. At the same time, more than 2/3 of the population have no idea that Social Security, 2/3, 60-some-odd percent, that Social Security is protected against inflation with cost-of-living adjustments.
Yeah, there was a lot of surprising information. This is an article that comes to us through our affiliation with EdSlot, and it's their Social Security newsletter. And this article was talking about a survey that was done by the Nationwide Retirement Institute. So they did this survey in 2022, and it included people, not just baby boomers, but they included Gen Xers and millennials in that survey. So it was a wide stretch of the population.
1,853 adults, so pretty accurate. Okay.
So the reason that we talk about Social Security a lot on the show, one, it has a lot of complex issues, but also 90% of Americans will collect Social Security benefits at some point in their lifetime. So it definitely affects a lot of people out there. So the people who were surveyed were much more confident than they should have been, they found through the survey. More than half of the respondents said that they knew exactly how to maximize their Social Security benefits, but only 7% could actually identify the factors that were important. So I have a little quiz for Ron.
Okay. He's on the
spot.
You got this, Ron. You got it.
Yep. All right. So which of the following are important in determining a worker's monthly income benefit?
Okay. What's important in determining a worker's monthly Social Security income benefits?
Right. I'm going to name a bunch, and you tell me which ones.
Okay. Is only one? Okay.
Could be more than
she
one.
She can't give you a clue on this one. Sorry.
Work history, age, benefit start date, and marital status.
Benefit start date?
yes.
will be a big one. Work history, meaning it includes wage history. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, yep. 35 years, okay. What was the spouse and what else? What was the other one?
Marital status and age.
Marital status. What was the age is when you take your benefits, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. Isn't
so
it?
All of them. You are right.
All right.
Hit them all.
Now what's the spouse's? What's that one?
Well, your marital status.
That
yeah.
that affects you. How does
right.
that affect? I didn't know that.
Well, that can affect you because.
Do you need a dog?
You may need a dog, and you may need two dogs.
Now, how does the marital status affect it?
The marital status can affect it because if you are, maybe you stay at home and your spouse works, you're still entitled to a Social Security benefit because you are married to someone who is working. And if they earn a benefit, then you can have a spousal benefit.
Oh, yeah.
So marital status. And in a divorce situation, if you were married for more than 10 years and then you get divorced, you're entitled to benefits based on that situation as well.
So. Right. So you can collect on your own benefit or that of your spouse as long as you remain unmarried.
Unmarried, okay.
So now I'm going to give you just a couple of statistics telling you how many people knew these certain things about Social Security. But really, I'm just going through these so that you guys know out there these things are important when it comes to Social Security. So 44% did not know how much their projected monthly income benefits would be. 49% had no idea how much of their pre-retirement income they could expect Social Security to cover. Continuing on, we have 46% of all respondents were unaware that Social Security benefits may be withheld if they are still working before their full retirement age.
Can we just say half? Before full retirement age, which is generally 66 to 67 these days, didn't know that if they were working and collecting Social Security benefits, that their benefits might be reduced from Social Security.
So 62% did not know that working less than 35 years could result in a reduced retirement benefit.
Now that was impressive, Ron, that Ron knew that it was 35 mm-hmm. years. He's not
good.
The average Joe, obviously.
It's almost like he's been listening to a retirement show for many years.
Yeah. This is not his first rodeo.
No, it's not.
66% did not know that their reported income could impact how much they could pay for Medicare premiums.
Reported income is taxable income. That can include income from a Roth conversion or income from other sources, your pension, Social Security. Interest income, that sort of thing. Okay.
But then the survey found that people are aware that they need to know these things. 76% of the respondents recognize the importance of learning ways to optimize their Social Security benefit. And 66% of responding adults expressed a desire to work with somebody, which brings us to next week. We're starting our Lunch and Learn, and Dennis is talking about
Social Security.
Social Security.
If you can say that three times fast, you're doing well. So that is next Wednesday from 12 to 1 on the dot. And we're also going to be serving lunch.
Absolutely.
June 21st, a Lunch and Learn at our office in the classroom there. So we'd love to have you join up. Just contact Beth, B-E-T-H, at proutfinancialdesign.com or 231-947-3992. You can sign up for the class. I think we've got a little over half full at this point. So we do have some room if you'd like to join us.
Right. And if you are interested and you listened to some of these things we talked about and you didn't know that, if you wanted to come and ask a question about that, that would be a great opportunity for you to investigate a little further.
And we're going to really bring up some of this information up close and personal in terms of the difference in benefits. We actually have some really good overheads that we're going to be discussing as well. I'm really thrilled with the quality of the class itself. So it should go well. We're looking forward to it. You bet.
All right, and so then the article goes into a couple of tips that touch on some of the stats that we've talked about. So the first one is closing the 35-year earnings gap. Basically, the payment is calculated by using a worker's highest 35 years of Social Security taxable earnings that are indexed for inflation. A worker who lacks 35 years of earnings can increase his or her Social Security benefit by replacing any 0 years with a year that has a number in there. And personally, I'm doing this right now because I took 10 years off from my career when I had my children. So I have 10 years of zero in my work history. So as I work now, I am replacing those years with my wages that I'm earning now. And I would say to people, even if you work part-time, to have a number in there instead of a zero can only help. And even if you only raise your benefit by $50 or $100, you think of how long you take Social Security. You know, you think of 10 years of $50 a month. It can make a difference. That's thousands of dollars.
It is. And because of inflation-adjusted income, you, obviously, thinking about what you earned in the 80s is most likely very different than what you earn today. So the 80s and or even the 90s, given that the 90s is 35 years ago or so, given that reality, yes, that can be extremely helpful in terms of really bouncing up the average earnings over that 35-year period.
Yep, especially for those who took time off in between careers or something. All right, another tip is timing matters. So that talks about when you claim your benefits. So claiming before your full retirement age results in a permanent reduction to the lifetime benefit of as much as 30%. A benefit claim made at full retirement age results in 100% of the promised benefit being paid lifelong, and a benefit delayed beyond full retirement age up to the age of 70 results in an increased benefit of as much as 124% over the age 67 payout, saying that we're assuming here that your full retirement age was 67.
So about a quarter greater in terms of overall income at age 70 versus 67.
Right. And another way to look at it, the same person could stand to collect 177% more by delaying from age 62 to 70.
In some of my own studies on this, the income increased with the maximum benefit allowed at for someone who's 62 versus someone who's 70 is a $2,000 per month difference. So $2,000 a month. An incredible amount of income.
62 to 70, you said?
62 to 70, yes. So the maximum benefit right now at 62 is about $2,500 a month. And, of course, then at age 70 is about $4,500 per month. A lot of income, given that reality, and your longevity, and or whether there's someone else who's going to be depending on that income. Even your own longevity, if you're married, thinking about your spouse, if he or she would collect on your benefit if you passed away earlier, okay, or early, if you will. Make huge difference. So thinking about the big picture, what are the five, perhaps even 10 variables that I need to think about in relation to Social Security benefits?
Right, and we should say that it's not, like you were saying, it's not always, like in our original article, it always, one answer doesn't fit everyone. And there are times and there are situations where it makes a lot of sense to start that Social Security. So just because we're giving you the averages, you always want to look at your individual situation before you make a decision.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tip number three is regards to the earning limit. So this went to people who are still working, maybe drawing Social Security, but haven't reached their full retirement age. So if you're thinking your full retirement age is 67, say you start at 62 or 64. But if you're still working and earning money, there is an earnings limit. And that earnings limit for this year is $21,240. And if you earn over that, the Social Security Administration will withhold $1 for every $2 over the exempt amount before any monthly benefits will be paid to you. And a lot of people don't realize this and can get themselves in a sticky situation when they're expecting that check and maybe they've made so much that they're not going to get a check for several months.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you really may want to, you want to, first of all, contact Social Security and ask them what to do and how to handle this and what forms you might need to file as a result of this. And or, frankly, perhaps even stop your benefit if your earnings are going to be that great. You're surprised, perhaps, by what your earnings have been and what they most likely will be. Stopping your benefits may be the best decision for you to make in that situation.
We have time for another tip?
Yeah, one more.
Okay, another tip is inflation's impact. This goes back to what Dennis was bringing up at the beginning of the article. Social Security is indexed for inflation. And how they do that, it's called a COLA. And the COLA is based on the change in the consumer price index for urban wage earners and clerical workers. So it's called CPI-W. And they take that between the third quarter of the current year and the third quarter of the previous year. This reason that this point is important is because maybe some of your other income sources don't do that. A lot of pensions don't, that amount stays steady throughout the retirement. Or maybe you have an annuity and that amount stays steady throughout the retirement. So this is an income source that is indexed for inflation, so it can potentially grow or get larger over time.
Now, this increase applies whether or not you were collecting benefits. A lot of misinformation about that, and I would say probably on the internet. Many had said, well, I wasn't collecting my benefits, so I didn't get that increase. Well, you didn't get the increase because you weren't taking the income, but you got the increase in the anticipated or the guaranteed amount that you'll get from Social Security in the future because they raised everybody's income even though you weren't yet collecting. Does that make sense? Pretty much. So if you would have been collecting $1,500 a month at, let's say, age 65, and the overall increase was 8%, then your increase will grow by 8% of the anticipated amount you'll collect at 65, given the COLA increase that's already occurred. All right, and we won't give anyone a quiz after that one.
So your benefits go up to match the prices that have gone up.
Well, in essence. Now, COLA, there's always the question out there, well, how accurate is the cost of living adjustments? Yeah. They're somewhat accurate. It's better than nothing. What else can I say? It's relatively accurate. They removed some of the key components of that, which is frustrating for everyone. But there are still some components there that do relate to inflation. Okay, so last year's increase was one of the biggest increases we've seen since the 1980s, Social Security, if that's helpful.
Right, yeah, and it's right. Important in the planning because, like it I is. Talked about, the static payments, they're not going to be indexed. So if you have a higher benefit because you waited longer, that is going to increase with the COLA over time.
Even more. Mm-hmm. And if there's any cut in benefits because you've waited, then your cut will be, it won't make as much of a difference to your overall income because the cut will be proportional to your income generally, okay, that you've waited to take.
By the way, I only saw this story on Bloomberg and nowhere else, and I can't get the full story, but the House Republican Study Committee recently floated this idea, changing the age of full retirement benefits from, like you said, it's about 67 now.
Right.
Changing it to 69.
Okay.
And that would start in 2033 for some people.
Boy, if they included that with several other adjustments, it would make a ton of sense. I mean, I think most of the population, if they saw the numbers, would embrace those changes.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, then, we're not running out of funds from mm-hmm. the trust account there. The Social Security in 2033, 35, whenever that's supposed to run out. So making these small adjustments like this, that's actually smart.
Right.
Let's jump on that bandwagon, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it gives you that extra time to plan for that. If
right.
they give us something and not something that has to be done next year.
Well, and it gives the younger generation the confidence that it's actually going to be there because most of them don't believe it's even going to be there. You talk to mm-hmm. you know anyone who's 30 years old right now, they don't. Mm-hmm. They count Social Security at zero for their retirement
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, wow. Heidi's yes. article mentions that. The millennials yeah. are pretty much saying there's not going to be anything mm-hmm. left for me, so I got to plan my own retirement.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's change that conversation, shall we, by actually dealing with a situation. I love that.
Don't wait for a crisis.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
It looks like we have a question before we go to Deanne. It says, assuming I live until 85 or even 90, the total amount received upon my death is almost identical whether I start taking at 65 or 70 or any other age for that matter. That's reference to Social Security.
Wrong. So, no, it's not correct.
Whether I live to be 85 yeah. or even 90, the total amount yeah. received upon my death is almost the same whether I start taking Social Security at age 65 or start at 70.
Yeah, and every time that we've done the financial plan and ran the numbers, and you know, obviously I don't want to strongly disagree with anyone's proposal there, but the income numbers are significant. As you live longer, those numbers increase dramatically, and many times we've seen those changes depending on your total income amount from Social Security, obviously, anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000 difference. That's a conservative estimate. So you really want to take a look at this for yourself yeah. and make certain that we can run these estimates if you would like us to. I'm happy to do that for you as well. Okay.
So, but if you say, I'm going to take my benefits starting at 65 and you get your benefits, or wait till 70, you definitely get more at 70, right?
Oh, absolutely yeah. more. Okay. You bet.
And usually part of our analysis does give us that break-even number
yes.
based on the person's information. Mm. And I would say the majority of the time you're looking for anywhere from 75 to 80, and depending on the situation.
Yeah, it's about 8 years is what you're saying in terms of a break-even point. Now, again, not everybody, that doesn't make sense for everyone. I need the income now.
Right?
We get that. It's just if you're looking at the true numbers, if you do decide to wait, it's significant in terms of total income. All right, Deanne, stats.
Absolutely. Last Monday, June 12th, marked the eight-month anniversary of the S&P 500's bear market low of last October. Since World War II, there have been 13 prior periods where the S&P 500 declined 20% plus from a 52-week high and then went 8 months without making a new low. In the year following each of those 13 periods, the S&P 500's median gain was 14.6% with gains 12 times, and that source is Bespoke.
Yeah, so the numbers tell the story there too, don't they? It's interesting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. After underperforming the S&P 500 by over 10 percentage points from March through May, the Russell 2000 rallied 7.9% in the first five trading days of June, compared to a gain of 2.1% for the S&P 500. The 5.8 percentage points of outperformance for small caps relative to large caps was the biggest five-day gap since May 2020, and that source is Bespoke.
Now, this is really interesting because one of the major concerns is the lack of market breadth between large cap stocks and small cap stocks. Mm-hmm. And guess what just happened? Interesting. The five trading days of June, the small cap stocks were up significantly compared to the S&P 500, and that's been one of the worries out there from the market prognosticators, if you will. Mm-hmm. That was just brought up. My gosh, you know, all the gains have been achieved by the majors, Microsoft, Google, mm-hmm. those kinds of companies in the S&P. Well, the small caps just came on.
Yeah.
So that's generally considered quite positive.
That flip is interesting because just a couple of weeks ago I had a stat how the large caps, you know, had amazing gain and small
they
caps
did.
Were low.
Yeah, about four times the amount for the first
right.
5 months of the year
right.
versus the smaller cap stocks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A 2023 Charles Schwab survey of American investors found that more than three-quarters of parents plan to leave a home to their children after they die. Due to the rising costs of maintaining and insuring a home, nearly 70% of those who expect to inherit a home from their parents plan to sell it, and that source is Mansion Global.
And I just say that Traverse City, I think, is a little different because if you inherit a home in Traverse City, you might want to hold on to it.
I think that's a love for Traverse City there. Said,
exactly.
Well, you bet. Isn't that interesting?
So it is very interesting.
It's one of the better assets to inherit as well because you're going to get a step up in basis. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So if mom and dad only paid $200,000 for it and it's worth $1.5 million, there are a few out there.
Which is not uncommon
right.
here in this
There's
area.
No taxable gain
mm-hmm.
when inherited. Okay.
That's a good point. Yeah. In the latest survey from the American Association of Individual Investors released on June 8th, bullish sentiment surged from 29.1% to 44.5%. Since 1987, last week has been only the 16th time that bullish sentiment has risen 15-plus percentage points while remaining below 50%. 3 months after those occurrences, the S&P 500 was up by a median of 1.6% with gains 8 of the 15 times, and that source is American Association of Individual Investors.
Mm-hmm. It seems as though they're saying there's some positive market sentiment going on out there, right?
Yeah, pretty positive. On June 4th, Nevada became the 11th state in the country to pass a state-mandated retirement savings program. The program will establish an IRA on behalf of the state's residents and will require employers who don't already offer their own qualified retirement plans to offer and auto-enroll employees in the state plan. And that source is American Society of Pension Professionals and Actuaries.
The 11th state. So the states are stepping up and demanding that employers and employees participate in these retirement accounts because guess what? They know it's going to be needed for them.
Yes.
The discipline, if you will. Nobody really likes that word.
Is that out of a fear of Social Security?
Yeah, having some difficulties paying out those benefits, and that's where it stands.
Mm-hmm.
But also the fact that, you know, that many don't have a pension.
Mm.
And, of course, they're living so much longer.
Good points.
All of those things come together.
And I have one fun stat, if we have time.
Yes, please.
Last Friday, June 9th, marked the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's record-setting 31-length victory at the Belmont Stakes that completed his Triple Crown in 1973.
Can you believe 31 lengths, Ron? I mean,
no.
Just slayed the competition.
But get
slew
this.
It.
24 out of 29 Triple Crown winners in the last 10 years trace their roots back to Secretariat.
There you go. Secretariat.
And that's thoroughbred incredible. Racing.
That's where the money's made.
Yeah.
All right, we have to run. News is next. Thanks to all Dennis, Heidi, and Deanne from Prout Financial Design. It's New Retirement Radio, WTCM Traverse City.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.